I think it's fitting that we take off and go the direction I believe the Holy Spirit has for us this morning. If you'll open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity today, Father, and we indeed thank you because, Lord, we could have been born anywhere. We could have never have known about the freedom that we experience here in this country. But, Father, we are thankful for that freedom, and we are thankful for those that gave themselves, Father God, so that we might walk in that freedom today. But, Father, today as we come together in freedom and we worship and we sit in these pews and we are able to hear the Word, Lord God, we ask you to anoint that Word, Father, that it might get inside of us and change us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So men and women who all over these 50 United States of ours, from various social backgrounds, economic backgrounds, they, one way or another, through the branches of our military, gave their lives for the freedom of this country. And I've often wondered, because I've never been in the military, I've often wondered what it's like to go into battle knowing that your life can be taken. You know, I mean, knowing that people are shooting at you with real bullets. I honor those people that have put themselves in that place. But one of the things that I will tell you about any man or woman that goes into battle, they have to be a people of principle. There has to be something driving them besides their emotions or their feelings. Amen. Because I'm just going to just be straight with y'all here. Please don't be judgmental against me. Or I don't know, you can if you want. I just don't think I'd ever feel like going into battle. Y'all there? I mean, I just don't think my emotions would ever come to a place where I jump up and I go, I'm just ready to go running into enemy fire. I just don't think my feelings would ever take me there. I think somehow or another there has to be something that overrides that, overrides our emotions, overrides our feelings. Because I'm going to tell you something, I have the emotion quite often of fear. Of fear. And fear drives me. I was picking green beans one time out in my garden, and I was just picking away down in the bushes, and all of a sudden I looked down, and there was a crazy snake laying right at my foot. I mean, and I just about had a runaway, but I couldn't outrun it because it was actually my shoe. It wasn't a snake. But I'm telling you, through those green bean leaves and everything, my shoe looked just like the... Don't judge me. I'm telling you, it's not right. But fear caused me to be a high stepper that day. I was out of my garden. I was in Renee's arms before you could even blink. Saying, save me, please save me. There has to be something that overrides those emotions, that fear. It has to boil down to principles. And so this morning, I may be preaching to the choir, and please excuse me if I do that, but this morning I want to talk about us as believers, us as men and women of God, us as Christ followers. We are an ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And folks, I got to tell you, if there's a people on the face of this planet that ought to be a people that are not driven by emotions and not driven by feelings, but driven by the principles that are laid out in this book, we ought to be that people. Amen? We ought to be people that don't make decisions based on how we feel. We ought to be people who make decisions based on what this book says. Amen? And so this morning, looking through the Word, I thought, man, you know, let's get a good example of somebody who you can tell they didn't operate on feelings and they didn't operate on emotions, but they operated on principles. And that brings me to the life and times of Abraham. So let's look at Abraham. We're going to read several verses out of this chapter 22. So let's just begin reading in verse number 1. It says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So man, that should have been the end of the story right there. Abraham should have just said, nope, ain't going to do it. Listen to what happens, though. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I are going to go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. Now that's a good idea. Make your kid carry the wood. Okay. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, and he placed the wood on in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked up. There behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. I just got to tell you, folks, that's a heavy-duty story right there. That's a heavy-duty story. I mean, how many of us this morning would agree that we live in a society that the basis for its decisions predominantly fall upon feelings or emotions? Folks, I got to tell you, everybody today just makes decisions based on feelings. I had a friend who was a manager of a McDonald's for many years, and he told me, he said, "You know, these young people, they don't have any motivation to do what's right. They just call at the last minute and say, 'I just didn't feel like coming into work today.'" I'm just going to ask a quick question. How many of you have ever shared that feeling, "I just didn't want to go to work today"? Yes. Okay, now next question. How many of you went to work anyway? Okay. You see, that's somebody being driven by principle. Folks, if I don't go to work, my family doesn't eat. I must go to work. I cannot stay home and just do what I want to. But we have a society. I'm going to tell you something. I'm just be honest with you. I think, parents, that we have coddled our children a little bit too much. Okay? Folks, we gotta teach our kids these principles that they live by, not feelings, not emotions. Some of the most important choices that people make in their lifetime are being made whether or not it feels good. I'm serious. I mean, back in the 60s, this started. Some of you actually remember that decade. Some of you were 60 back in the 60s, so okay. But you remember the mantra that came out of the hippie movement was what? If it feels good, do it. I want to tell you something, folks, that is absolutely contrary to the teachings of this book right here. Come on. The Holy Spirit is not speaking to us this message from God that says, if it feels good, do it. The Holy Spirit is saying, God said it, so do it. Come on. Okay. I mean, I've been through this myself with so many people that I've counseled with. People come in and say, "I just don't feel happy in my marriage. I want a divorce." Folks, there's been times I didn't feel happy in my marriage either. Renee may not be feeling happy right now. I don't know. But it's not about whether or not we're happy in our marriage. It's about I stood before God and witnesses and I said, "I do, till death do us part." Principles that drive your life, not emotions. I like this, and so I'm going to buy it. I'm going to finance that car. Folks, now cars are so expensive, you have to finance them for 30 years. Just like a mortgage on your home. I've seen so many people, including my own self, that have made so many stupid decisions because, oh, I like it. It's got all the bells. It's got all the whistles on it. And the salesman says, I need to buy it. In fact, the salesman told me there's somebody looking at that same car. They're going to be here this afternoon to buy it if I don't. And salesmen always tell the truth, so I snatched it up because I felt like I should have it. I could go on and on and on. But the mentality has crept into the church where people do or don't do things based on whether or not they feel like it. Even to the point of leaving and finding another church that makes them feel better. We all know that it's hard to make the right choice in the heat of the moment. And so this morning, I'm not going to stand up here and say that emotions or feelings are evil, because that's the way God made us. God made us to fear things. I'm going to tell you something. God made us to fear snakes and even tennis shoes that look like snakes. Emotions and feelings are not from the devil. In fact, we've been created to have them. We can enjoy them because we are emotional beings. Emotions enrich the human experience. Whenever my grandchildren, they call me granddad and they love on me and they think I'm not. I'm teaching Abel to pet granddad. And so now he's petting all kinds of people. And so... But it's so good. It's just so good to be loved on by your grandkids. It's a great feeling. But having said that, we are not to be governed by our feelings. We are to be governed by principles. We are to be people of principles. Because emotions change, but I will tell you this, principles do not change. If you don't believe emotions change, I tell you, any of you that have been married for any point past maybe 20 years, do you ever have this in your marriage that you thought, I can't stay married to that person another minute if they don't change that? And every time they did it, your emotions would just... But now you've 20 years into it, 30 years into it, they're sitting over there doing it and you don't even care. So anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, now you just look at it and go, that's normal. Hey, I think I'm going to do that too. Okay. See, emotions change, but principles do not change. Principles stay forever. So this morning we meet up with Abraham. Abraham, just after he's experienced this amazing fulfillment to a long-awaited promise. God went to Abraham, Sarah, their bodies are beyond the time whenever they can have babies. But God says, I'm going to give you this child, the promise. And man, don't you know that there was two parents that doted on their son Isaac? Are y'all there with me? I mean, man, this is Abraham is coming late in their life. They're both trying to get into heaven. Okay. Okay, no, I shouldn't have said that. But Abraham and Sarah got this child of promise. I mean, all of these years they look forward to this boy, and now he's been born. So Abraham and Sarah finally given this amazing promise by God that they've been waiting for so many years, and Abraham's love for Isaac would have grown each and every day that they were alive together. So it's under these circumstances, you got a father, you got a mother that love this kid, under these circumstances that God chooses to test the principles of his friend Abraham. Would Abraham still choose to act on his principles, or would he act on his feelings? We read the whole story, so we know. But I'm just asking, what do you think you would have done in this situation? I think I would have ended the conversation after verse 2. I would have said, not going to do it. Sorry. I just really don't feel like killing my kid today. Some of y'all are sitting out there, oh, no, I'd have killed him. There have been moments in my life that I would have killed him at that moment, but sitting and thinking about it, I just tell you, I mean, what would you have done? What would you have done if this whole thing presented itself to you? How would you have acted? Because I got to tell you, this must have been like a dagger through Abraham's own heart. Whenever he hears, I got to take my own son, this son of promise, this son that I love above all things on this earth, I got to take him out and sacrifice him? Believe me, Abraham was familiar with what a sacrifice was all about. He would cut the sacrifice's throat and his blood would run all over the altar. Then he would light the altar, wood on fire to consume the body. Are y'all there? What would you have done? Well, this morning I want to talk about a few principles that you see openly and abundantly in Abraham's life. First of all, I would tell you that Abraham had the principle of trust. He trusted God. Man, you look at this story, you got to know that Abraham's trust meter was way, way, way off the scale. It's interesting to me that the Bible says that Abraham was being tested. This is God testing Abraham. Even though Abraham had done all these many things, he had already proven himself to God to be faithful, God's still stretching Abraham. God is still molding Abraham. Imagine if God comes to you and asks you to give back to him that one prized possession that you had, that you had waited so long for. Take your son, your only son, yes, the son that you love so much, and go to the land and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Folks, I got to tell you, there's nothing reasonable, there's nothing logical about this request. It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, I would have just, before the verse 3 ever got there, I would have just said, doesn't sound like something I'm wanting to do. I don't feel like killing my son today. But you see, Abraham trusted God. And so though in our flesh it might not have sounded reasonable, in our flesh it might not have sounded logical, but the only thing that makes it reasonable and makes it logical is who it's coming from. God said it. Are y'all there? I mean, I read through the promises of God and sometimes I look at them and I go, man, that's crazy. That's far out there. But God said it. So God's able to do it. Amen? So in Abraham's eyes, that was enough. God said it. We see his motions. Man, he started packing the donkey. Are y'all there? God said it, so in Abraham's eyes, that's enough. No matter what was asked for, that's enough. There was trust there that God knew what he was doing, even though Abraham couldn't see it, he couldn't understand it. And so this morning, you got to imagine God asking us to give back to him that one thing that we love the most. I mean, I would try to bargain with him. I'd say, God, you know, is there something else you'd like? I got a real nice deer rifle. Come on. I've got some nephews. Some of you ladies might say, I got a husband, Lord. We're not going to go there. You see, this would be whether our emotions, our principles would come in contact with each other. And whenever our emotions and our principles come into contact with each other, many times there's a conflict. Amen? Because our emotions are saying one thing, but our principles are saying another thing. So we know what we want to do in the flesh, but in principle, we should trust God. Abraham trusted God because we know God knows everything. He knows better than us in every situation because he is this wonderful, sovereign God. You know, it's easy to sing about it. In fact, it's probably pretty easy to say it, that we trust God. I trust God. I trust God. Yep. I trust God. But with everything? I mean, man, God put his finger on something here. I'm just not sure. I trust God mostly. How about that? I trust God almost all the way. I trust God pretty much. Do we trust God with everything? Without reservation, you and I, we have to be a people who trust God's plans. We got to be a people who trust the will of God. that everything he said is going to come to pass precisely when and how he intends them to, because he's good. You see, if God can hold the universe in place, I think he can certainly handle my life. My problem is, I can't always see the greater purpose that God has for my life. And he tells me to do something, and it's just like, oh no, I can't see what he's got down the road for me. I can't see how this thing's going to come to pass. But I will tell you this, God can be trusted with our families. He can be trusted with our lives. He can be trusted with our hearts. Folks, this morning, I got to tell you, perhaps all of you in this room have made the ultimate decision to trust God with your eternity. I mean, I really, really believe that Jesus went to prepare a place for me. That in his Father's home, house are many mansions. Are y'all there with me? I'm trusting. I got one of them. I'm trusting it's furnished. I'm trusting. I'm trusting it's got a stream out back that's stocked with fish. You see, the principle of trust will always be the best choice whenever we trust him. That principle that just says, you know, hey, I don't understand it. It's right over my head. I don't see how it's going to work out down the road. But God said it, so thus I am going to trust God. I'm just going to trust God. Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. In Psalm 34:8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, that the joys of those who trust him. We have to trust God. He was one of the principles that drove Abraham's life was he trusted God. Principle number two, not only did he trust God, but he was obedient to God. Whew. See, whenever you and I say that we trust God with everything, that's only part of the equation, because the very next thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to act in obedience. Let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about. Whenever he asks you to give all that you have in the offering, and you go, wait a minute, I still got a few more bills I have to pay. Anybody? Has anyone ever been challenged to do that besides myself? I mean, God has stretched me. He's taken every dime we've had out of our checking account to go to some missionary or some project or some ministry, and all of a sudden we don't have anything. But I will tell you that God requires us to obey him, not only trust him, but whenever he says to do it, we need to be doing it. The text doesn't say that Abraham went away for a few months and prayed about what God had said to him. But boy, isn't that convenient. Yes, I'm going to pray about it for the next 11 years. Abraham, I don't think he went anywhere and prayed about it. I think he just did it. Doesn't say he went away and he asked for advice for his friends. Hello. It just says the next morning that Abraham got up early and he saddled his donkey and he took his two servants and he brought his son Isaac along with him. Imagine having to go home that night and explain to Sarah what God wanted him to do. Because see, I don't think this was just an Abraham thing. I think Sarah and Abraham were pretty tight. I don't think Abraham just went in and got on his lazy boy, propped it up and watched Jeopardy all night long and just didn't say a word to Sarah. See, I'm thinking Sarah was a little bit prying. I think she was a prying woman. I think she could look at Abraham like my wife can look at me, and she can guess what's going on up here. Do any of you men have that same problem? It's made a liar out of me, because she tells me, she says, this is what's wrong with you. And I go, internally, I go, she wrecked. But out of my mouth, you know what comes? It is not. That is not what's wrong with me. Nothing's wrong with me. I mean, not much is wrong with me. Well, a lot's wrong with me, but that's not wrong with me. See, I think Sarah had that ability. And whenever she looked at Abraham, it had to have shown on his face a little bit. And I think Abraham had to explain what it is that he's fixing to do. I don't think he left the tent that day with Sarah tied up with duct tape in the closet. See, I think these two people, not only did they trust God, but they were obedient. I think something that came out of Sarah's mouth was, well, if God has told you to do it, you better scamper along. Principle. People of principle. Not emotions, but principle. There was nothing else for Abraham to do other than to obey and obey him as soon as possible. No matter how difficult it might have been, he had to obey. God wanted to see if Abraham would keep being a man of principle even after he had received the blessings. You know, the easiest time not to attend church is whenever God blesses you with a new bass boat. Enough said. I'm so sorry I did that, and that's not true. God wanted to see if Abraham would be a man of principle even after he received the blessings. You see, without yours and I's actions, our words mean very little. And this is where the test of obedience takes place. Will you do what I've asked you to do? So, are we ready to actually go through with what God calls us to do, no matter how difficult it might be? And again, our emotions are going to tempt us to do what's easy. Our emotions are going to tempt us to do what oftentimes is selfish. A few years ago, the Lord spoke to my daughter's heart and says that you should go to Africa. And after I spoke with God, I had a totally different opinion of that. Here my 19-year-old daughter's fixing to get on an airplane and fly across the globe and go to Africa, spend several months. And I knew the missionary she was going to be staying with, and I didn't even like him that much. And so I'm just thinking, you know, Lord, don't call my daughter. Don't do this. I need to keep her right here in Franklin where I can take care of her. And the more the Lord and I argued over this whole thing, the more my daughter was adamant that God had spoken to her. And so I got to be honest, I drove to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I put my daughter on the airplane. And it was hard. It was hard. But I had come to a place in my life where I believed that was what God had for her life. I could have pulled a trump card, the father card, you know, right a couple of days before the trip. You know, I could have fallen down and, it's my heart. You know, Fred Sanford used to do that all the time, but some of you, who's Fred Sanford? Words are cheap, you know. I trust God, I trust God, I trust God. I'm a pastor, I trust God. But I really don't want to send my daughter to Africa because there's a whole bunch of nothing to crazy things that happen in Africa. Are y'all there? And my God finally had to come to me and he says, listen, I've taken pretty good care of her for all these years she's been with you. It wasn't you taking care of her, knothead. It was me. And don't you think I can take care of her in Africa the same way I've taken care of her in the United States of America? And I said, let me think about that. No, I said, yes, I believe you can. So God is calling for us to be a people of obedience, without wavering, to respond in obedience. Folks, because this is it. Our emotions, our reason, our logic is going to tell us just the opposite. But acting in obedience, that's how we put legs to our beliefs. And it's the only way to see how God can truly work in our life. In 1 Samuel 15:22, it says, obedience is far better than sacrifice. Listening to him is much better than offering the fat of the rams. In Philippians 2:8, it says, and in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on the cross. Man, I am so glad that Jesus was a man of principles. This morning at the end of this service, we're going to celebrate communion. And the reason that you and I can take the broken body of Jesus Christ into our own selves, the reason that we can take the cup that represents his blood into our own bodies, is because Jesus was a man of principles. Because I want to tell you something. The Bible gives us a clear delineation whenever he was in the Garden of Gethsemane that his emotions were telling him all day long, you don't want to go to the cross. You don't want to be brutally executed by the Romans. Because I'll tell you, the Romans might not have been good at a lot of things, but they were good at killing people. Wasn't no lethal injections. I want to tell you something. The ACLU would have never gone for what the Romans did because they said, listen, you're going to die a criminal's death. You're going to suffer before you die. Thank you, Jesus, for being not only a person of principle, but a person of obedience, because even obedience to death. So the next thing is this. Abraham, he gets all of these awards throughout the whole Bible of being a man of faith. Abraham was a man of faith. He was the principle of faith. Abraham didn't only have to trust God. He didn't only have to obey God. But he obeyed him because he believed in him. He had faith. He immediately obeyed God. Because God deserves our obedience. But Abraham also had faith. His faith let him believe that God would have some purpose in doing all of this, and ultimately it would end well. You know, one of the things that I think we all have to do as human beings is we have to come to a place, and please don't misunderstand this, because I'll let y'all know this. Each one of you are the smartest human on the planet. I mean, we all think that. We all think we're smart. But God is smarter than you. Come on. He's smarter than me. Barely. But I'm just kidding. Good grief. No, God is so much smarter than us. And so that's why many times we let our logic and our reason, you know, well, I just can't believe God would do this. This is no way God would. God, that story I read to you, man, it's just crazy. Why would God do that? Abraham had to trust him. He had to say, God, by faith, I believe that no matter how this thing plays out, it's going to end well because you're God, you're smarter than I am, and you know best. God would be good on his promises as he always had been in the past. So Abraham was fully ready to sacrifice his son, and God stopped him. Whew, man, don't you know that's a place to pull out your hanky and wipe away the sweat that you just got through sweating? I mean, Abraham literally, the Bible says that he had his knife drawn and he is ready to sacrifice his son. I mean, have you thought about this? How did he get Isaac to let him tie him up? You know, and he had to tie him good, because I tell you, I think he had to tie him more than just his hands. Because if you're putting me on the altar, I think I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box, but I might be able to start thinking, Dad's got a knife. He ain't got no ram. He's tying me up. I think Abraham had to tie his feet, keep him from scampering off the altar. Because I tell you, if that was me on the altar, I'd be scampering off the altar. Some of you out there, I wouldn't do that. I would be. I just really don't want to be a sacrifice like that. Abraham's ready to sacrifice him. Isaac's tied up. I'm telling you, he probably used a whole roll of duct tape on him, and he's got the knife lifted up. I believe that Abraham in faith knew that God would provide the sacrifice as he had provided with him a son. I think somewhere in the back of Abraham's mind, he knew that. In his heart, he knew that. I mean, how uncomfortable would it be to have the questions that Isaac asks his own father? Okay, Dad, let's go over this together. We have the wood. You've got the fire. Where's the ram, God? Where's the lamb? Where is it? And he has to answer him. We'll trust in the wisdom of God. We'll obey God's direction, and we'll have faith to believe God's plans. How many of us have such faith to believe that the goodness of God, even to the point of sacrificing everything? I got a hold of a book several years ago that talked about missionaries being sent overseas to unreached people groups, and this is over 100 years ago. But these missionaries, whenever they would pack their belongings to take them to the land that they were going to go to, they would pack their belongings not in suitcases and not in containers, but they would literally pack their belongings in coffins. They would pack their belongings in coffins because that was the place that they were going to die. Y'all there with me? I mean, these missionaries literally sacrificed everything. And today we send our missionaries home on furlough. We give money so that they can fly home every few years and see their families. And today we've got, you know, the internet, and so we've got FaceTime and Snapchat and all these other things that you can do. But back then, folks, they were writing letters that took 6-7 weeks to go across the Atlantic Ocean with it. Are you there? They didn't have the contact that we can have now with our families. So they basically sacrificed everything. And this morning, I'm asking this question. Do you and I have the faith to believe in the goodness of God, even to the point where we sacrifice everything? The principle of faith is tested whenever you and I actually lay it all on the line. Whenever we don't have any idea how it's going to work out, but we know that God is faithful and we know that we can count on Him. You see, the reason that you'll make a decision like that is because your faith. Your faith is going to be that carries you through while you're being obedient. Because without faith, you won't obey. It was that process that Abraham doing this with his son, it was faith in God that gave him the strength to go ahead and complete the task. And now, as I look at this story, many times it's easy to separate the human emotion from it. Well, you know, it was Abraham. He was some kind of special guy. But if you think about it, at that moment that Abraham is tying his son up, you think about how that emotions could have gotten in the way. I mean, he's strapping his boy down. You can hear the duct tape unrolling and unrolling and unrolling. I mean, and, you know, he's lifting him up and putting him on this altar. And, you know, the wood is all stacked there and the fire is setting right over here. And the knife is shining in Abraham's scabbard. I think that there would have been a moment right there where the emotions that Abraham, I cannot do this. I cannot do this, God. You've asked me to do something I cannot do. Are y'all there? I mean, is anybody besides me feeling perhaps they might have been swayed by their emotions? I think certainly I would have. I look at the face of my kids on that altar and I'm thinking to myself, I don't think I could do it to any one of the four. Now, there have been moments where I could have, but those moments have been few. Emotions versus principles. He wasn't swayed by his emotions. He stuck to his principles. He had faith in God. You see, whenever situations arise in our own lives, will our faith, not our emotional strength, get through? I believe God. I just believe God. You see, with a whole heart, you and I have to believe in faith that God has our best interests in mind. it's really going to be good for us. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning. In 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 13, this is what it says. This is a true saying. If we die with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure hardship, we'll reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Christ is calling a people to live not by emotions, not by feelings, but to be a people who are driven by principle. Because I'm going to just be very frank with you this morning. Many of the things today that the Church of Jesus Christ, listen to my words, that the Church of Christ is beginning to embrace are out of emotion, not principle. I'm just going to make sure y'all know this. I love homosexual people. I hope homosexual people come to this church. I'm not against homosexual people. But whenever the Church of Jesus Christ ordains homosexual men and women to the pulpit, it is wrong. And the reason that they do it, they are being driven out of emotion. Are y'all here with me? Whenever a man and a man stand at an altar and the pastor of a church marries them, are y'all there? They're being driven out of emotion, not principle. So this morning, I'm just picking one thing, but I can tell you that emotion has crept into the Church of Jesus Christ. And that mentality that I spoke about a little bit earlier of how it sprang on us in the 60s, if it feels good, do it. We got to be a people of principle. We got to be a people of principle. We got to be a people that no matter what the emotion might be, no matter what the feeling might be, we are driven on by what the Word of God says. Principles. We are principled people. We can't be a people that make decisions in the heat of the moment, because many times when we make decisions in the heat of the moment, we make wrong decisions. We have to be a people that says, what does God say about this? How does God want me to handle this? And again, Jesus was that perfect example of what it means to live the kind of life that I've just described. It meant ultimately that Jesus would be giving his own life for our lives. Let me make sure we all kind of catch this. God is going to test us of whether or not we are a people of feelings and emotions or a people of principles. He will test us. I was at a business not very long ago and they rang up the total, and I'm not a math wizard, but in my head I could add pretty plainly, and I knew that they had undercharged me for what it was that I was purchasing. And I said, that doesn't add up. And it scared the kid behind the cash register because he thought he was overcharging me. And I said, no, I said, you've undercharged me. Oh, I don't think so. I said, I think so, because it just doesn't add up. So he went back and he redid the thing, and comes out, I had to pay about $8 extra. Ugh. You understand where I mean? I could have walked out of there and go, I stuck it to the man. We have to be a people of principle, not feelings. Because the way I felt that day, I felt like I needed a discount. Some of y'all are looking at me like, I don't ever feel that way. I'm holy. My clothes are holy. My hair's holy. No, all of us can succumb to our feelings. All of us can. But God is calling us to be a people of principle. We're never going to be perfect until we step over into glory. Abraham wasn't perfect, but Abraham was a man that was driven by principle. He was a man that was driven by what God said, not what he felt. This morning, I'm going to ask our deacons to come and serve communion this morning. And I want us, as we receive this communion, to think of the principle that drove Jesus to the cross. It was the will of his Father. That's all it was. He said, "Not my will, but yours, Father. Your will be done." That was the principle that carried him to the cross, that allowed his body to be so inhumanely treated and ultimately gave his life for you and I. And so this morning, as we receive these elements and as we take them into our own body, we need to understand that we have to be thankful for a man that was driven by principle, not a man that was driven by emotion or feeling. So deacons, can you go ahead and come? This morning, if you're with us for the very first time, know this, that this is not closed to anybody that's outside our church. If you want to receive communion with us this morning, there's just one prerequisite to that you must know Jesus Christ as Savior. You've had a John chapter 3 experience, and you know Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. And so this morning, as the deacons serve, receive the elements, hold the bread, and hold the cup until we can all partake of them together. But this morning, as we are served, I want you to just take these few moments as the deacons go through the congregation and serve you. Take these few moments and think about the principled Jesus that gave his life for us. Not the Jesus that ran on his emotions, not the Jesus that ran on his feelings, but the Jesus that he ran on the principles that went so deep inside of him that he was faithful. He was dedicated even to the point of death to the will of his Father. Thank you for it, Jesus.